Surely the Ravens of Juneau have been squawking all about this. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, it has been a big day for our community, one that has lots of hearts bursting with pride and joy. This morning, the U.S. Post Office officially released Rico World's Raven Story Stamp. In a downtown ceremony at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Walter Sobolev building. Years ago, when Rico Worrell and his sister Crystal started the Trickster Company to showcase indigenous art, he had no idea where it would all lead, only that it involved lots of hard work. Well, yesterday I had a chance to talk with Rico about his art, his new postage stamp, and his relationship with Raven. First of all, congratulations. This seems like an artist's dream to have your art circulating around the nation and maybe even around the world. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. It's a huge honor. And like you said, it's such a huge platform to be able to represent on.
How did this journey begin?
That all started in 2018. Things took longer than they should have because COVID, obviously, plans changed for the timeline. But it did begin in 2018 when a art director with the United States Postal Service discovered some of me and Crystal's work at the National Museum of the American Indian in D.C. And so he discovered our work in the gift shop there. And he said he was really drawn to the kind of the feel of traditional kind of design work, but in a modern context. And so that's where it all started.
Well, I know one of the things that you talked about when you and your sister started the Trickster Company is that the genesis of that was you trying to put Native art and culture into your everyday life. I remember that you started out decorating your skateboard with traditional designs. So isn't that the ultimate realization? What is more everyday than a stamp?
I like you framing it that way. That's really cool. Not only are we able to like make it everyday life for those around us, but I think they're printing 18 million sheets. So maybe 18 million people will have this artwork in their everyday.
I hope that we'll all be able to get as many as we want. This is a forever stamp, isn't it?
It is.
That's even more interesting that it's a forever stamp. Do you ever stop to think how in life something as big as this can be triggered by somebody seeing something in a gift shop?
It's pretty wild. I mean, a lot of what I do kind of sometimes feels like fishing, where you just have to like put the lines out there. You just have to like be present. You have to put yourself out there and hope that somebody in the right spot comes across your work.
That is really amazing. This was so random, but yet you're right, is that you have to keep fishing, keep looking for the opportunity, and just maybe something like this will happen. So let's talk about what happened once you decided to try to design the stamp. What was your thought process through that?
Yeah, so Antonio Alcala, who is the art director with the USPS, he worked with the USPS stamp approval committee, I think is what they're called. And so they kind of had some general idea. So they came to me and they're like, oh, we're thinking about having, you know, multiple designs that kind of tell a story across the stamp. And so we kind of started off there. And I had decided, because it was such a national platform, I knew it was my responsibility to kind of represent.
There are hundreds of Raven stories that you might have chosen, but you settled on how Raven stole the sun, the moon, and the stars. Was it because that story just has more artistic possibilities?
So I chose the Raven story because it was a gateway to learn about Tlingit culture. Because it was one of the best known ones, I felt like again, back to the concept of like representing and accessibility, that's always been something that I've integrated in my art, is making sure it's like accessible to Native people, but also to non-Native people. I felt like that there was a greater chance that people from all the way across the country who have no resources that towards like learning about Tlingit culture, you know, because they're just so far away, and that there would be the greatest chance that they would kind of be able to go online and look up what is the Raven story, what is Raven and the Box of Daylight story, and maybe we'll come across something.
So for people who are not familiar with the Raven Box story, can you recap it for us?
Yeah, very abbreviated. A long time ago, the world was all dark, and Raven had heard about this clan leader who had these celestial objects as treasures that he kept. So the sun, the moon, and the stars were in these boxes, and he ended up pulling off this mega heist and infiltrating the households and ended up stealing the sun, the moon, and the stars and releasing them into the universe. And the stamp is actually kind of at the climax of the story where he's transforming back from a baby human into his raven form and kind of like on the way out carrying as many kind of celestial objects as he can in a kind of frantic moment.
So you capture a moment that is full of drama, but what is the meaning of that moment in the bigger picture to you?
For me, I like to really share the idea that Trickster or Raven as a kind of like spiritual being, it's not necessarily about like good versus evil or anything like that, as much as it's more about questioning the way things are and maybe making changes along the way. And it feels very humanizing. Raven's this supernatural being, but even Raven has these frantic moments, like where he's on the cusp of like success or failure with stealing these celestial objects to bring them to the world.
And yet you could argue that the objects rightfully belong to humanity. So, right. So he was kind of like a Robin Hood figure, perhaps, mm-hmm. in one of his many guises. But, you know, to me, and I'm sure this story means many things to many people, but it really is, to me, quite a spiritual story because it's really about love. You know, this old man mm-hmm. who stubbornly is hoarding humanity's treasure, and then Raven sort of disguises himself as a baby, the old man's grandson, and suddenly the old man's heart opens up and he's willing to let the grandson play with these celestial objects. So I don't know, I kind of interpret it that way, and that's maybe what makes the stamp so special. How do you interpret that story?
I think that's another reason why I chose the story. I think there is multiple levels of what does the story mean? And I think that's another power of Trickster stories. At what level are you processing it? Or the storyteller can also frame it in a way that he thinks the audience needs to hear. It can be about sharing something with the world. It could be about a grandparent's love for their grandchildren. It could be about clan relations, because there's always balance between the eagles and the ravens in Tlingit society. The grandfather would be the opposite side of Raven. So it would also be about him not being able to say no when the opposite clan is making a request of him in a certain way.
And to me, it's also about being smart rather than using force to get what you think is rightfully yours, to use your brain.
Yeah.
And Raven has quite an interesting brain, don't you think?
Yes, I agree. Raven has a very creative brain.
Sometimes gets him into trouble. He's a little bit too creative occasionally. Mm-hmm. So now that you realize this ambition to get your work marketed all around the world, where do you go from here?
I am teaching myself some new skills. I'm spending time learning 3D computer-aided designing. I've spent a lot of time doing two-dimensional form line work and using Adobe Illustrator, various computer programs, and translating my work through those programs. I would like to start to learn a little bit of the sculptural side of form line.
Do you think that in a way that many Indigenous artists will look at your work as kind of a victory for them too, maybe?
I hope so. But I do hope that the people that do view this stamp, it does make them think about who are the Indigenous artists in their region and area find out who they are, support them.
So I imagine that there are a lot of artists like yourself out there, as you describe, fishing every day, hoping for that opportunity. So do you think that this story is going to inspire them, that this one fishing expedition brought something into your life?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I think just having that hustle every single day is, it's vital to like, to success for anybody. So we have the saying, Igwe Juan, and it's like, have strength. I just hope people can kind of feel that message and keep carrying that into their work, into their things they're passionate about.
Sometimes when you look back on the past, you don't realize that all the things you're doing are someday going to contribute to your success. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, I think there's been a path, but I only see it when I look backwards. I've never really assumed a path forward. I've tried to be present and aware of the opportunities that are around me. I wouldn't have said I was an artist when I started Trickster Company about 10 years ago. And I probably didn't call myself an artist except for maybe 5 years ago. I started to a little bit. It was more like I was following Trickster Company and like kind of like putting design work in there through the opportunities that that kind of presented me.
So how old are you?
37.
You're very young. So before you're not even, 40, to have an honor like this is quite an amazing thing. To have something like this happen to you when you're not even at the prime of your career, it has got to be a tremendous boost.
I keep saying this, and I hate to just keep repeating myself, but representing is just like such an important part of what I think my job is. And so I'm just trying to do my best to represent my community, my clan, my tribe, and I'm just gonna continue to do the best to represent as I can into the future.
Well, that seems like it's taken you a long way, that philosophy. So it can't hurt to keep the same philosophy. Now, one thing I was curious about is that stamp, the design on it, just seems to me it begs to be a gigantic poster. Because the post office commissioned this design, do you have any rights to be able to use that design in your own Trickster Company?
I did work out a license with the USPS to get the artwork. We will have it on prints and note cards and postcards. Nothing as big as a poster, but that has been requested a number of times, so it might be something that we have to add in. But 11 by 14 kind of size prints for now, at least.
Okay, well, I definitely think that there will be a market for that, because that is such a beautiful stamp with the little gold stars and the ribbons around the raven. It just is an image that when you look at it, even though I guess Raven is stressed, it still makes you feel good.
Yeah, thank you.
So before we go, is there anything you'd like to say?
I mean, my family's support has been like the number one thing. I run Trickster Company with my sister and my dad and my stepmom. We do the kind of day-to-day work and grind and hustle the Trickster Company, and they're really the ones that kind of have held me up so that I could have the time and energy to take opportunity on when it presents itself.
So do you think this is changing you in some way? I mean, it's got to be overwhelming.
It's pretty intense. I've been getting interview requests since November, actually, when it was first unveiled. I don't know if it's changing me. We'll see, I guess. We'll see if I transform.
Well, Raven has the ability to transform. So if he's your mentor, who knows what could happen? Or would you want Raven to be your mentor?
I think there's a lot to learn from Raven, so I wouldn't miss out on that opportunity.
All righty. Well, again, congratulations, and we look forward to seeing more of your work out there.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Alaska Women Speak, a journal for and by Alaska women. Up next, 25 years of sharing stories.